Well, welcome to the One Thing Podcast, where we all get to practice dancing with the one thing that individuals, communities, and countries have yet to try en masse. That one thing is connection to the higher part of our true self anatomy that people call by various different names. Our prime directive above all else is to make and consistently return to taught connection, connection with the one thing, day in and day out, as our first step in dealing with life problems, rather than viewing life problems as things we can solve separately from taught. And in this episode, this is really, Lori and I have been juiced about this. Yeah, chomping at the bit, juiced about this episode. This episode is the one thing and the rise of Homo Spiritus. This is really very meaty, so it might be a longer episode. In this episode, we'll explore the ending of our species as Homo sapiens and the dawn of the next phase of our evolutionary development as human beings, which Lori and I have begun to call Homo Spiritus, and we'll explain why in this episode. We realize that what we're going to be discussing in this episode might challenge your paradigm, perhaps to its very core. We also believe that if you're willing to see it through in yourself, that it will open doors to your own higher truth, which will give you your antidote to today's chronic societal and personal stress.
Well said.
A mouthful.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you want to lead off with the framing?
Yeah, sure. So we thought that, you know, we've been calling our episode and our conversation the one thing, and we're gonna build on that. We're gonna sort of create some new layering and some new wording. And we always, you know, need to understand from the perspective of our mind so we can wrap our heart around it. And we've discovered a bit of another tack. So if you're a sailor at all, you know that if you're going to take a slight turn, it's called a tack, and you make some adjustments to the sails. And so that's kind of what we're you know, going to be doing here. And it's just really another way of talking about the one thing, our intention and our foundational principles. If you haven't yet listened to some of the earlier and foundational episodes where we outline our principles, those are unchanged. We're just going to be adding some new framing, as we've said. And we would just like to share the things that have been percolating up for us, and the wording that has been emerging, and the crystallization that this new wording seems to be giving us. And we really want you guys to be the first to hear about it. So this is going to frame our foundational episode. We did an episode on Homo. Did we do it on Homo Deus?
Yeah, Homo Deus. Yes. It was one of our early foundational episodes.
Right. And it was kind of a takeoff on the book Sapiens, the gentleman who wrote the book Sapiens. And then he wrote another book called Homo Deus. And then we added our own spin to it. What we're going to be sharing is what else has also been coming up for us as a result of that. So, and one of, I guess, the ways to kick that off is to say that we either identify as a human being, or we identify, let's say we identify as a human being, and then there's this principle called, you know, the all that is, or the source of all life, or the divine, or God, or whatever word you put to it. We've been calling that the one thing. It can be called the I Am Presence, your higher self. It doesn't matter. There's lots of words that you can use. We do recommend you choose an address that makes it feel really personal and universal to you. And the way, you know, there's been a few things that have happened, but one thing that really struck at one point was I was listening to a personal interview. It was on a personal platform, and the person was interviewing Mayim Bialik, who stars in The Big Bang Theory. She happens to be a neuroscientist as well, and she just really understands the brain. And she's a beautiful human being. She has her own podcast. And she was talking about, or the questions were like, how do you juggle a busy career and raising two teenage boys and your spirituality? And, you know, like, how do you do all that? And she had beautiful answers. She was talking about how she's She's culturally from the Jewish tradition, and she's expanded her spiritual path, you know, much broader than that, much like all of us have, whatever, you know, religious tradition that we came from.
And much like I have as someone who was raised Jewish.
Right, right. And so, and then, you know, she had all these gorgeous answers. And then someone asked her something, and honestly, I don't remember what the question was, but her answer was, well, I'm only human. And something just blew open inside of me where it was like, oh my gosh, this is the place that human beings are at, that we're being called to evolve past. And it doesn't mean we will no longer be human. We're not leaving our humanity behind. We're bringing it along for the ride. But we can't stay stuck in this place where we're limited and where possibilities are so narrow and we don't have access to this other aspect of our being that is part of our anatomy that I'll let David actually, you know, unveil that, because he was the one who got the download of the wording, which is so beautiful. So you want to share about that, sweetie?
Sure. And what I'll say as a prelude to that is that Lori and I both believe that all of us, every single one of us on the planet right now, is privileged to be living at a time when the human species called Homo sapiens is ending and a new species of human is emerging. And of course, the challenge right now, because of the monumental shift in species that we, Lori and I, believe we're going through, is that there's a war going on. And the war that's going on is actually between two versions of this new human species and which one is going to prevail. And so that ties back into what Lori was mentioning before about one of our foundational episodes on Homo Deus. And I'll get to that in a moment, but I want to start with defining some terms, because these are all Latin terms, including Homo sapiens. So Homo in Latin is human being, and sapiens is actually a Latin derivative of the word for wisdom, as in wisdom that differs, that differentiates us from other animals. Mm-hmm. Now,
we could also yeah. just, if I may interject, say
sure.
consciousness, wisdom and consciousness, higher intelligence can be considered. And while mammals have that, it isn't at the same level as human beings. So that's important to
right.
distinction for.
And, you know, there may be some exceptions to that, like dolphins or whales. But
yeah, true.
We don't know enough about those species to know how to fully differentiate between those species' qualities of intelligence and ours. In any event, we are seeing a shift into a post-Homo sapiens species, and the generic term for that we didn't make up, it's actually been circulating around, is called Homo Deus, D-E-U-S, Deus. And Deus in Latin is God. So this is human God species. But there are two versions of Homo Deus that are afoot right now, that are being one is being, in our judgment, perpetrated on humanity, and the other is, in our belief, the natural evolution right. of humanity. So we've got something that, again, using Latin, would be called Homo Machina, M-A-C-H-I-N-A, as in machine. Machina in Latin is device or instrument or trick. And that trick is the version of Homo Deus, of human God, where humans are acting like God, they're replacing God, and where there are forces afoot right now that are involved in turning human beings into commodities to serve a God substitute, mm-hmm. which is authoritarian human beings. And so we're calling that version of Homo Deus, Homo Machina. The non-Latin term that is most in use for this version of human is called transhumanists. So if you've heard the term transhumanist, just translate that over into Homo Machina.
Right.
The other alternative, which is the one that Lori and I believe it is our design as human beings to evolve into after Homo sapiens, is what we call Homo spiritus. And spiritus in Latin is breath of God, meaning God breathes God's consciousness into us, not we are replacing God, which is Homo Machina, or we're smarter than God, which is Homo Machina. But in Homo Spiritus, we are humans embodying God. We are in a state of spiritual self-sovereignty that serves love. And we're collaborating in restoring Eden, or, you know, like as in the Garden of Eden, or heaven on earth. And this is, as Lori's going to say some more about in a little while, this brings forward sapiens wisdom, the sapiens version of wisdom of the body, without the hijacking of that into groveling.
Yeah, yeah, perfect. That's a beautiful description. You know, we are starting to observe and witness and feel in our own hearts that the idea of Homo sapien, and when David was mentioning, how are you saying that? We're either being replaced, yeah, the machina is a replacement of the natural infusion of life force or light force or love force or God force that animates our every move and speaks our every word through us, that kind of thing. I just lost my train of thought on that. There's another problem when we are gonna, if we choose to say, oh, I'm only human, you know, we've kind of reached the end of the road of that. That's what the shift of the ages is calling us through, is to break the glass ceiling, so to speak, and invite this wisdom that is lurking around in every particle and wave of the cosmos, including the air around you and in you, just to make that very clear, that we invite that, we accept that as part of our beingness, because if we don't, then it feels like we're separate from this life force or God force. And this is what I think I picked up in Mayim Bialik's interview, is that she was considering herself a human being who honors and has, you know, has devotion to the God force, but still feels distinctively separate to it. Now, I may be wrong about that. And so Mayim Bialik, if you ever listen to this episode and I'm wrong, please forgive me. And let us know, exactly. That aside, I see this in many, many, many people around me, and I experience it in myself as well. And my devotion daily, as we've talked over the episodes, is to just come back to this center, come back to embodying the spirit that carries wisdom and solutions and possibility and connection to a unified field that is the vibration of love. When we talk about heaven on earth, it's our job to actually anchor that. We're the ones with the boots on the ground. And if our anatomy is could never be disconnected from the higher presence that we are, or the spirit that we are, and we're bringing our humanity and our spirit self closer and closer together, that's when some people call it the fifth dimension, some people call it heaven on earth, some people call it the Garden of Eden. Those are words to just sort of describe a consciousness and a vibrational life force that exists as the greatest as greater than anything else, right? Right now we have a life force or a frequency that is fear, that is, you know, kind of dominating, and we're transforming ourselves through that. We're transmuting fear into love, and we're evolving into Homo Spiritus. We can't be anything but expressions of light and love and, you know, spirit if we're embodying that energy. And sometimes you have to sit and think about that for a minute and just contemplate how it's impossible for us to be anything but that. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to see, hear, speak, walk, eat food, digest it, sleep, make love, all the things, right? Like we wouldn't, none of that would be possible if we didn't have a spirit animating us. So I guess I'll just kind of leave it at that and you can take it from there.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks. That's gorgeous. And I'm going to add one other thing to the metaphors that you were describing in terms of fifth dimension and Garden of Eden and heaven on earth, which is from the mystical branches of Judaism, which has to do with the Messiah, the age of the Messiah. So in mystical Judaism, the Messiah is not a person. It is a state of consciousness.
Exactly.
And so in that sense of Messiah, one way to look at the age of Homo Spiritus is the age of embodying the consciousness of the Messianic.
Right. Some people call that Buddha consciousness. Some people call it Christ consciousness. It's not so much about the person as much as it is the vibration or the consciousness that people, examples that we all know about, Jesus and Buddha and others, embodied and exampled for us in their life on earth.
Exactly. And so think about this from looking in at the 40,000 foot level. If you were noticing that a species was shifting from one evolutionary epoch, age of a species into another one, wouldn't you think kind of objectively, oh my gosh, that's got to be incredibly disorienting and confusing and fear-inducing and even terror-inducing, especially if they don't know that's what's going on?
Yes.
And so what Lori and I appreciate with deep compassion, both for ourselves and for all of humanity, is we haven't recognized that Homo sapiens is ending, and that Homo machina is being pushed on us as a way forward, that it is not a way forward, not a sustainable or wise or loving way forward, and that Homo Spiritus is a natural and very human spiriting oriented way forward. And when we're not clear about all of what I was just saying, that lack of clarity is, in my opinion, and I think in yours as well, Lori, at the very heart of today's chronic societal stress and upheavals and divisiveness and finger pointing. And we gotta get a grip on this so that we stop fighting what's going on that is actually a blessing and a gift to humanity.
Well said.
So do you want to do that next piece, or you want me to keep going?
Why don't you keep going and I'll do the next one?
Okay.
Well, go do the next two and I'll do the last one.
Okay. So again, Lori and I really do sense that the species Homo sapiens has ended, and our terror about this is magnified because we don't grasp this on a fully conscious level, and we don't have a clear and compelling vision for the human species we are becoming. And that's part of why Lori and I are so excited to be doing this episode, because we're offering a way of understanding that we know will be stress and anxiety relieving for at least some of those who are listening to this. And if along those same lines, if we don't recognize that the Homo machina replacement, artificial replacement for Homo sapiens that is being attempted right now, if we don't recognize that, we will think Homo machina is our best hope for the future and we'll give into it. Or, despite our internal misgivings, misgivings are being prompted by our higher wisdom, or we might go in a different direction that Lori's going to talk about. If we don't feel railroaded into embracing Homo machina, then what we might do is what a lot of people are doing instead intuitively. You want to take that one?
You mean the blocking or the...
If we don't recognize that Homo machina is a replacement for Homo sapiens? Do you want me to just do that one too?
Yeah, go ahead, because I'm sort of not clear what.
Oh, sure. Well, so one alternative is Homo machina through propaganda gets to be installed in our belief system in such a way where we think that's our best hope for the future and we give into it, even though something inside us is saying, wait a second, this doesn't feel right. This doesn't fit right. The other possibility, not just possibility, but the other path that people are taking in response to Homo machina is that we might believe that our only alternative to Homo machina, which we know is wrong, or we wouldn't be looking for an alternative to it, is to revert back to being Homo sapiens. And that is not going to work because Homo sapiens has come to the end of the road as a species. The only alternative that's a viable antidote that we see instead of succumbing to Homo machina or being regressive back into Homo sapiens is to embrace Homo spiritus, the Homo spiritus version of Homo Deus, the next iteration of our human species that's devoted to spiritual self-sovereignty that serves love and enables us to successfully collaborate in restoring heaven on earth.
Beautiful, including the health of our planet.
Well, very much so, because we are stewards of this place that gives us physical human life.
Yeah. And in case you're wondering if this is a sort of an out of reach option for you, I would just want to remind you that anything any other human being has ever done is possible then for anybody else. And as long as humans have been alive, this evolution into Homo spiritus has been happening, maybe not in the mainstream per se. And when we look at our examples of, 2000 years ago, we tend to think things like, oh, well, that I could never do that. I'm not the son of God like Jesus was or Buddha was, and that kind of thing. But we really need to remember, and if you're willing to put your arms around this for any length of time, your own higher presence will teach you how to remember. We're it's not our job to pound that into you. It's our job to point you in the right direction and then you to see what is true based on your higher presence. And it is possible. It's possible for all of us. And what we're actually having you consider with us, that we believe, that David and I believe, is that we're getting ready to evolve into this Homo spiritus en masse, like many, many of us, not just one person here, one person in that era, one person, but all of us who are willing in mass, most likely in our lifetime. And so it's really important to point yourself in this direction so that you get to be lifted up in the right current, so to speak. And so we thought we would just say a thing or two about what might block us from embracing Homo spiritus, even if we want to. Like, you might be sitting here right now going, yes, yes, this sounds right. This resonates in my heart. I want to do it. Well, we have to remember that we have a human mind, and for most of our lives, this mind, a lot of people refer to it as the ego, has been disconnected from our spirit self. And so the beliefs and the thoughts and the perspectives and the constructs and the patterns and the programming that it's so used to living within will have us believe otherwise. And it will feel very frightening to want to change or reconsider or step outside of those paradigms. And so we're just letting you know that, you know, I've had myself that experience. I think I can say that David has too, where it's it seems scary to do that. But if I do it anyway, it's actually the safest place to move myself to is into this union with the spirit part of myself, because it's part of my anatomy anyway, it's part of your anatomy anyway. And so denying it is quite painful. And I don't know if this is true, but I suspect that things will start feeling more and more painful as we do, you know, whoever decides to do more and more denial of this. So if that's an experience you're having, then you can always know that there's a salvation in your spirit that can, that is like a lifeboat to carry you to your own sovereignty. And, you know, the other thing that I think is really interesting is that as a Homo sapien, you know, we've been raised with prayers like the Our Father. I mean, I come from a Catholic upbringing. I don't practice that anymore, but you know, the Our Father is a prayer that's been around for a long time, even before the Catholic Church. Right. And so there are requests in that prayer, like deliver us from evil and forgive us for our transgressions and, you know, forgive those who transgress against us. And that's one half of it. And there's also a part of it that that is about give us this day our daily bread. And it occurred to me recently that there's a bit of groveling in that prayer. And it's not unlike many prayers, actually, that where there's this sort of, I'm here as a lowly human and please, you know, God, give us our breadcrumbs kind of thing. I mean, this is the way I'm interpreting it. And there is a bit of groveling. There's a different feeling. There's a distinctly different energetic feeling when the other side of that coin is engaged, which is more of a sovereign connection, which is more like, okay, I am fully connected to my higher spirit, my higher self, my higher wisdom, my I am presence, my source self, and I am calling forth blessings and miracles and supply. Thank you. I am grateful. And that's a different feeling than the groveling. You know, you can play with that in your own time, but it was important. It felt important for us to bring that forward. So there's no unworthiness in a sovereign self, right? Like there's no question, because if we're sovereign, we have a full, a connection of full, I guess we have the feeling of full connection. And in that full connection, there's a plentifulness and there's a knowingness of worth and value and enoughness, more than enoughness. And that's not the same as the other side of the coin, which we've been programmed for, which is unworthiness and not enough and criticism and self-judgment and just never measuring up, right? That the good news about Homo sapiens being at the end of the road, all of that stuff, unworthiness, not enough, you know, lack of limitation, all of that is over too. And it takes a slight shift in perspective and connection to realize that those, that is true, that that's over, and you can turn in any given breath, in any given nanosecond, and claim what's yours to claim, the treasure of your own heart.
Beautifully, beautifully said. A couple of things come to mind. One that I shared with you about groveling, that from the part of my life where I was doing a lot of performing, including acting, there's one line of all of the roles that I played in acting on stage that just stands out to me. It's the one single line that I have never forgotten, and it's from a role that I played in a musical called A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum. And my character, and this is, you keep in mind, this is a comedy, and so this line is delivered as a laugh, a gag line, it's as a laugh line, but there's so much truth in it anyway. And the line was, I live to grovel.
Yeah. And is it fair to say that was decades ago in the old programming, in the old
energy?
Yeah.
Yes. And as Laurie was saying, there's no room for unworthiness in the age of Homo Spiritus. And what I, as a non-Christian, would offer for consideration to Christians who are more metaphysically oriented is that the second coming of Christ is the second coming of Christ consciousness, that it's not about the return of an individual. And I may be very wrong, and I, of course, I'm speaking out of turn in a sense, but I want to offer the possibility that the wisdom in the notion of a second coming is that we are now finally entering into an age where the consciousness that Jesus was embodying and inviting humanity into embodying with him, because as you all remember, if that's part of your background, you remember him saying, this you can do and more.
Yes.
Right? And so now we're at an age where we get to where the possibility is that the second coming is we get to embody what he was modeling.
And that's the key. Embody it. Bring it into your cells. Activate it from the cells that it's already in there. Live it. Breathe it. Embody it. Feel it in your body. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how else
right.
to. Yeah.
And that the second coming could be conceived of as the embodiment of this consciousness on by a species rather than by, as Laurie was referring to earlier, isolated individuals.
Yes.
It's not about isolated individuals anymore. It's about humanity
exactly.
as a whole. The other thing that I want to say about the distinction between Homo Machina and Homo Spiritus is that we're not implying, and I want to be really explicit about this so that there's no misreading between the lines. We're not implying that we are anti-technology or against the development of a collaboration between humans and artificial intelligence and things along those lines. We aren't saying anything about that being a good or an evil thing. It's simply a technology. It is by definition neutral. Like Einstein talked about, everything has changed in technology except our consciousness, right? So this is about the consciousness with which we use these vast technological leaps forward. The Homo Machina version is not the version that keeps us as expressions of source. It's about replacing God with our version or the tyrannical version, the authoritarian version of that. And so I want to make sure that's really explicit about, we're not speaking about, oh, technology evil. That's not the deal. It's the consciousness through which we're using those tools that are our divine intelligence has brought onto the planet in the first place.
Right. And just to piggyback on that, I think what we're also saying is that we're not abdicating our consciousness to artificial intelligence.
Right.
We're claiming a level of sovereignty that can use artificial intelligence in whatever serving way a high consciousness would use it. But
right.
we are not abdicating our consciousness, our bodies, our souls, none of it is being abdicated.
Exactly. And Homo Machina is all about magnifying and capitalizing on our alleged unworthiness and imperfection so they, the authoritarians, can deliver us through authoritarian perversions of the common good and integrate us with artificial intelligence for the purpose of turning us into chattel, into commodities, not elevating our spirits. And So,
and this has been going on for a while now. It's it's not just in the last couple of years. In case you're wondering about the timing of this, this has been going on for a while.
Right.
It's hitting a peak.
A transition of this magnitude from one species evolving into another species doesn't, you know, it's not like a light bulb turned on or off or the snap of a fingers. It evolves, it emerges over time. Mm-hmm. But what we're saying once again to anchor what we said a little earlier is that we believe that the only way out of Homo machina, that trap, is to claim Homo spiritus instead of advocating regression back into the good old days of Homo sapiens.
Right. And just to be clear, I think we said this, we get to bring our Homo sapienness with us.
Yes.
As we evolve into this higher version of Homo sapien, which we're calling Homo spiritus. So lest your mind start thinking, oh my God, no, I don't want to give up that, you know, however that's going, maybe going in your mind. We're giving up nothing. We're adding to, we're increasing, we're expanding, we're evolving, we're becoming more of who we really are. And while that is a bit frightening for an ego mind, there's no choice.
Right. The math of this is addition, not subtraction.
Good
We're
point.
Not taking anything away. We're adding to what the blessings of our stage in human development called Homo sapiens provided to us. We're adding to that in a next epoch.
Perfect. Yeah. And the last thing on this part, and then we'll share some key takeaways for you to, you know, possibly bring with you after we're done here is...
And we were right about this episode going longer than the usual one.
Right, we've kind of, you know, had that inkling. Our planet as a living, breathing entity herself, as a conscious master of energy and matter being the physical stuff of Earth and everything on her, including us. She's quite forgiving, and she belongs in a system, a star system, that is already all at this level of consciousness that we are talking about. And Earth is being brought into that star system, back into her rightful place, and we're all going with her. And so it will just be a lot easier. If we line up with what's going to be happening anyway, and you know, I see it, I think David sees it as a beautiful and good thing. How can it not be good if we're evolving ourselves into the love that we already are, right? That's the fabric of the universe. It's what every particle and wave of Mother Earth and every cosmic element around us is already made of. So I'm saying that and I'm repeating that because in case it feels scary to do the change, it might feel less scary if you remind yourself that, you know, we're evolving into love. This planet was offered up in benevolence to human beings' mistakes and misgivings. Some people call that sin.
According to some metaphysical perspectives, by the way, yes.
Yeah, as a way to work out our lower choices, our choices that weren't in alignment with love, that were more in alignment with fear. And so this planet was offered herself as the place to come and do that, knowing that there would be a point in time, and it appears that this is, you know, we're heading into that point in time. There would be a point in time where we would be done with working out that stuff and we would elevate ourselves back into our rightful dimensional consciousness level with the rest of the solar system that we are part of.
We're star system, not solar.
Star system. Right. It is star system.
And those of you who are Star Trek fans, think about metaphorically the notion that this elevation of the next stage of humanity into Homo spiritus is what gains us entrance into the United Federation of Planets.
There we go.
You're not a Star Trek fan, that means nothing. If you are a Star Trek fan, think about that notion metaphorically now.
Yeah, beautiful. And one last thing I'll say before we do the takeaway. Well, no, I'll say it in the takeaways. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. So moving into the takeaways now, our invitation here is for you to join us in moving past what might seem like the end of the road and to instead consider that it's actually the beginning of a new road, a next road for all of us. And so we have a couple of questions that we want to leave you with as takeaways that we simply want to invite you to sit with and contemplate and percolate. And the first is, are you willing to consider that we are walking over a bridge right now from having been Homo sapiens to becoming Homo spiritus, which absolutely includes, as Lori keeps reminding all of us, rightly so, includes our humanness. Are you willing to consider that we're walking over that bridge right now? That's the first question that we want to leave you with as a takeaway.
And then we'd like to have you contemplate and consider and be willing to come to a place of peace in yourself around. Are you willing to challenge yourself that the undeservedness and the unworthiness and the disorientation, fear and the confusion and the number one fear of the ego mind, which is annihilation, and it terrorizes this part of our mind, our ego. And are you willing to consider that the dissolution of the old paradigms is actually an okay thing, knowing we are moving to someplace better, we're walking over this bridge? And would you be willing to give yourself permission to soften what you feel are your wrongdoings in order to see a possibility, a bridge, a walkway, an opening of a path? And the possibility of you stepping into Homo spiritus.
Mm-hmm. And the final takeaway that we're inviting you to ponder and contemplate and sit with and allow your version of higher wisdom to inform you about is, are you willing to consider that we are being presented with a choice between two roads as Homo Deus, as we move into this next phase beyond Homo sapiens, the two roads either being Homo Machina or Homo Spiritus. And if you're willing to consider that we are being presented with a choice between those two roads in our Homo Deus next phase, which of those two roads are you feeling most aligned with taking, the Homo Machina road or the Homo Spiritus road?
And the thing I was going to add earlier is, before we tease you with our next episode, is that spirit is light. Every particle of energy in the universe is a point of light. And so if our higher spirit, our higher presence, our higher self, our higher wisdom extends itself as us, as molecules of light, then are you willing to consider that you are a being of light? And would you be willing to feed yourself light, call in light, activate light inside of you, gift yourself light through the colors of food or sunlight or any other version of light force that makes you feel connected and serene and centered in yourself as a sovereign being on this planet? I have come to learn, I'm not saying this is something that I, you know, is, well, I'll just say it from my experience. I can't do this without light. And so that bridge from one epoch to the other is a bridge of light. and we're walking into the arms of light. I mean, light is the energetics that carries love. It's the particle and the wave. It's yin and yang. It's masculine and feminine. So I'm just, posing this consideration for you that you include more light in your life, and it will serve you well. So on that light note, our next episode is going to be what we were going to do this time, which is part two of The One Thing and Money. So we'll start weaving in, what does it mean to be a homo spiritus and have a relationship with money on the planet? And we look forward to that. That'll be our next episode together. And until next time, remember to dance with your better half, the one thing that is a spirit, is a homo spirit that is you. And do that more and more each day, and it will dance you right into the arms of love.